Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. You know, the more I do this program, the more I like doing it, even in times of difficulty. I like doing this program. As I want to show you how much God loves you. He asks things of you, of course. He asks things of all of us. But he loves you. And what he asks of you is what will draw you closer to him. Please listen as you read the words of the gospel. You know, that word is living and active. It's, scripture tells us that itself. It's living, it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the power to separate bone from marrow. God's word wants to go into the very deepest part of us and begin to change or to add to our life, to see things more and more as God sees, not that we're God, but to see things with his perspective, his understanding. Please, as I told you the other day, try to read the scripture every day. It will come alive for you in a certain way. It will change your life. It certainly changed mine. But it took some time to do that. Not that I wasn't good. I was Catholic. I was doing what the church was asking of me and what God was asking of me. But the more I read his word, the more I knew the person of Jesus Christ. And God wants that for us all. The word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It can separate bone from marrow. It can separate bone from marrow. The word has power to change you and to change me. So let's take a look at the readings for today. The first reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 2 to 11. Vanity of vanities, says Koheleth. Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. What profit has man from all the labor which he toils at under the sun? One generation passes and another comes, but the world forever stays. The sun rises and the sun goes down, then it presses on to the place where it rises. Blowing now toward the south, then toward the north, the wind turns again and again, resuming its rounds. All rivers go to the sea, yet never does the sea become full. To the place where they go, the rivers keep on going. All speech is labored. There is nothing one can say. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear satisfied with hearing. What has been done, that will be done. Nothing is new under the sun. Even the things of which we say, "See, this is new," has already existed in the ages that preceded us. There is no remembrance of the men of old, nor of those to come will there be any remembrance among those who come after them. This is a great, as I often say, it's a sense of great discouragement that's going on here. Vanity of vanities. And there is a way. It is vain. The things of man, to cling to them as the be-all and the end-all goal, is not the answer. It's your union with Christ that is the answer. Ask God for the help you need. He will always hear your prayer when you need it. But please, brothers and sisters, as I said to you yesterday, please read the scripture every day. And I would encourage you, this is my idea, but I would encourage you to read the four Gospels first and then go back through the Old Testament. I think you understand. You need to get the whole package to understand. And I want you to know the Lord more and more and more if you can. Psalm 90, in every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. And that's true. So many times in the history of this world, when we were in trouble, people did turn to the Lord and prayed, and God helped us. And this psalm says, In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. You turn man back to dust, saying, Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday now that it is past, or as a watch of the night. You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning they are like the changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Please fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. Prosper the work of our hands for us. Prosper the work of our hands. Many of you listening to this program could identify with this psalm at different stages, the stage where you're desperate, the stage where you've known some care of God, you've experienced it, the stage where you're seeking more and more to gain wisdom of heart. We ask for his kindness, his joy, his gladness. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us with the work of our hands. It's a great psalm to read, Psalm 90. Read it often. And the gospel today, the Alleluia verse before the gospel says, I am the way and the truth and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me. Think of that. I am the way and the truth and the life. Go to Jesus, the Son of the Father. Go to him, he who is God. Go to him and ask him to help you. Ask him to give you steadfastness, the courage to persevere, and God will make himself known through the acts he does for you. He will help you. It might be a year or two, but keep persevering. God will hear you. He wants to see if you're steadfast, if you've changed your way of life, if you've turned away from the sins that you fall into again and again. I'm not saying that you can be perfect, but everything should be moving in the right direction. Brothers and sisters, trust him. Trust the Lord, because he has such love for you. In the Gospel of Luke today, chapter 9, says this, Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed because some were saying, John has been raised from the dead, and others were saying, Elijah has appeared, and still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen. But Herod said, John I beheaded. Who then is this about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. Oh my goodness, brothers and sisters. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to destroy him. God preserved him. Brothers and sisters, some of us can have very evil notions in our hearts, and we don't know quite how we got there, but we have them. All you need to do right now is to turn to the Lord and say, I'm sorry for that thought, or I'm sorry for that action. Will you please forgive me? If you're Catholic, bring it to confession. Even if you think it seems small, bring it to confession, because you know that you were trying to get your own way out of something. Turn to him. Acknowledge his love. Please, brothers and sisters, do so. We need to. All of us need to. I wanted to share with you, Pope Francis wrote this, to believe is both to hear and to see. Faith's hearing emerges as a form of knowing proper to love. It is a personal hearing, one which recognizes the voice of the Good Shepherd. It is a hearing which calls for discipleship, as was the case with the first disciples. Hearing him say these things, they followed Jesus. But faith is also tied to sight. Seeing the signs which Jesus worked leads at times to faith, as in the case of the Jews, who following the raising of Lazarus have seen what he did and believed in him. At other times, faith itself leads to deeper vision. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. In the end, belief and life intersect. Whoever believes in me believes in him who sent me, and whoever sees me sees him who sent me. Joined to hearing, seeing then becomes a form of following Christ, and faith appears as a process of gazing in which our eyes grow accustomed to peering into the depths. How does one attain this synthesis between hearing and seeing? It becomes possible through the person of Christ himself, who can be seen and heard. He is the Word made flesh, whose glory we have seen. The light of faith is the light of countenance in which the Father is seen. The truth which faith attains is the revelation of the Father in the Son, in his flesh and in his earthly deeds, a truth which can be defined as the light-filled life of Jesus. This means that faith knowledge does not direct our gaze to a purely inward truth. The truth which faith discloses to us is a truth centered on an encounter with Christ, on the contemplation of his life, and on the awareness of his presence. He is with us right now. As you're listening to this program, he is here with us. He loves us. He knows everything about you, and he knows everything about me. He knows us as no one on earth knows us. He knows us and he loves us. If we have sinned against him, please ask forgiveness. Please go to confession. Don't be embarrassed. Just do it. And God will abundantly bless you. He wants his friends. That's us. He wants his children. That's us. He wants us very close to him. He wants us to live with him forever. Think of that, forever. And you might fall into a trap. I did one day. I was thinking about that very thing, and I thought, oh my goodness, that could get boring. And then I thought, no, we're talking about God. It will never be boring. He is forever new, and he wants to bring you the newness and the goodness and the steadfastness of his love for us. He wants you to know it. No matter how much sin you've committed, ask forgiveness. Hide nothing from him, and he will forgive you. Please, brothers and sisters, draw closer to him. We've certainly experienced a lot here in our country with the pandemic. And who knows, in God's time, whatever else we will have to face. So please draw closer to him. He is your source of strength and wisdom and peace and love. May God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.